Hello and welcome to Ask Margot Today. We're going to cover questions about what to do with the chatter that goes on in our heads that's often leading us up the garden path. What to look for on a first date. What Denzel Washington has to say about a good man. How to manage a man's interest in you as a woman. And also how much focus should you expect from a man. And these questions are as much for men as for women. I'm Margot Coatsworth, and this is the show where you can get the answers to the things that need resolution in your life. I'm your host today. I come from a bit of a mixed background in more ways than one. It's a background in food and design, in hypnotherapy and coaching. I'm working on a number of projects at the moment, a two-ingredient cookbook with my brother, and I'm helping people to take a new look at their health and to see that they do in fact have some power to manage their own health in understanding better the connection between their body and their mind. We've made lots of changes and progress in what we understand about our bodies and how they work, and our mind and how that works, which is all about my field as a hypnotherapist. But we are quite new to realizing just how much power we have in using our minds to influence the health of our bodies. It's very exciting to see progress made in this area, as we've been subject to ill health for such a long time, feeling that whatever was dished out to us in life is our lot to bear. All of us have aches and pains, it seems, at some time in our life, health issues that pop up that we need to deal with. But also I see so many people who are absolutely plagued and weighed down by issues that are wrong with their body. Pain they feel sentenced to live with. It's terrible. I think it's time we say it's enough. It's time to do something about it. I always like to choose some aspect of who I am or what I do to introduce myself, and I guess that's my introduction for today. That I believe we must continue to explore the connection between our mind and our body rather than just accept the status quo. Interestingly, our questions today are mostly about dating and relationships of a romantic nature. 3 out of 4 of our questions, in fact. So there must be love in the air, I think. There's so much chat and so many questions around this important subject, because we all hanker after connection, don't we? We want to share our lives with someone else, the day-to-day stuff, the big stuff, the good stuff, and to have somebody help us through the difficult things. Many of us feel that life is better shared. Okay, our first question today is from Barbara, and she says she's interested in meeting a man and likes a man to approach her and to show interest, so she can't understand why people say it's hitting on someone to do that. Why is it not a good thing for men to show interest in women? And she says, what do you think, Margot, about the term dumping? If it means that a man just wants a physical fix, Barbara, then I understand that hitting on terminology, because it's demeaning. But if it means he's interested in you and wants to connect with you, take you out, have a drink or whatever, I also don't know why it's called hitting on. Women want men to appreciate them and to be interested in them, and they quite often would like to be asked out. So let's be a bit more gracious, ladies. Let's be kind to men. We want them to do what they're here for, pursue us in the nicest possible way. Let's allow them an opportunity to show their interest without being badly rebuffed. It's fine to say no, but it's nice to be polite. You never know, the next approach you get may be the one you've been waiting for. The other term, like hitting on, is dumped. I just find that so shocking. What does it really mean if you say someone dumped me? If you analyze that, it means they have decided that you're not a match, you're not a fit, that they don't feel you belong together. Isn't that a wise and insightful thing to see in a relationship? And certainly sooner rather than later. I never use that term. And I never like to hear that someone's dumping someone or is dumped. I think we have to allow the other person, especially in a new relationship, to choose for themselves whether it's working or not. No one leaves if they're happy. They just don't. It's so simple. We owe it to each other. We're obliged to each other to allow a person to leave if they're not satisfied or happy or content, or if they feel they're just not a fit for you. That's the beginning and end of it. So if you're struggling with that, with someone who's left or has, in inverted commas, dumped you, stop talking like that. All that does is make you feel like rubbish. What do you do with rubbish? You dump it. Don't talk like that anymore. Don't be hit on. See that as someone showing interest in you. Except, of course, if it's off or inappropriate. Certainly then shut it down, and otherwise be polite, even if you're not interested. And never see yourself as dumped or say that you have dumped another human being. What kind of talk is that? I want to read you something now. It's so good and very worth thinking about. Happiness is the new rich. Inner peace is the new success. Health is the new wealth. And this one, kindness is the new cool. There's so much power in our words, so much creative, restorative, uplifting power in the words we choose to use. We need to select those words deliberately and intentionally. What you speak is what you're creating. Your genie is listening, and his job is to do what you say. So make sure you say the good stuff. Thank you for that question, Barbara. I hope that's rung some bells for some of you, and that maybe we are one little step closer. What is it they say? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Sounds very dramatic and lofty, but little things incrementally become big changes. Let's be more generous to each other. I think we may well change the world if we do begin to act like that. But remember, change begins with listening, but it doesn't happen until we start doing. Our next question today is from Danny. He says, I seem to have this constant chatter in my head, almost like another person telling me to beware or to watch out for things, to be suspicious. It's like the negative me is telling me I can't trust myself, or I can't trust another person, or I can't trust the universe or life or anything really. I don't want to hear it, and I don't know how to stop it. I want to feel more at peace and more like every aspect of me is on the same page, and I suppose that I'm supporting myself. What do you suggest, Margot? Hi, Danny. I think all of us have this other aspect to ourselves that second guesses us and questions us and our choices and thoughts. But it's not good if that's undermining our sense of self. I came across a quote recently, which I want to share. It says, you will never hear another person's voice more than you hear your own. So be intentional about the way you talk to yourself. That's absolutely right. It's just another way of saying what I often say. And we can go one step further, which is very much in the philosophy of rapid transformational therapy that I practice. It is this: the most important opinion in life is your own opinion of yourself. You're the one who lives you. You're the one who's choosing the life. you're choosing currently, the people you're associating with, what you do, what you control. Of course, family are a bit of an exception. It's hard to swap them out. But we can change a job. We can change our location. We can change the people we associate with. And what we read, what we watch, how we speak, what we choose, most of our life choices are up to us. So sometimes I think about the concept of an imaginary friend, like the other half of you, the Jiminy Cricket you. He was Pinocchio's conscience, wasn't he? He was the sage voice, the wise guide, the counselor. So how about trying this, Danny? Why don't you say to this chatting voice in your head, I acknowledge that you are a part of me. I accept that you have a voice, but I'm going to give you a different job. We do this in our subconscious work with my therapy, but you can speak to yourself. Say to your other self, we are now going to work together, and everything you say to me will be in my best interest. You are now my cheerleader, my champion, my best advisor, and my reliable friend. From now on, your chat in my head is going to be words that are uplifting and supportive. Accept the voice in your head, but make sure you demand that it's a voice of yourself that's giving you great advice. Personally, I don't think this is loopy at all. As children, we had imaginary friends. See it as a game, but it's a game that you are managing because you are the chooser in your life. You're in the control seat, the driver's seat. I had a friend once and I used to say to him sometimes, oh, the other Margot says she doesn't like that, or whatever it might be. This is just the kind of game I played where I felt I could say what I really thought. It was quite lighthearted, but although it was entertaining, he did tell me at one point that he didn't particularly like the other Margot. So we didn't continue with that line. If you think about the stuff that goes on in your head, it's constant, and we really need to take control of the narrative. I know someone who spent many years of her life in an ashram, and seeing her recently, I so admired that she had learned to manage her state so beautifully. I see her like a kind of creature who floats about in a bubble of calm. She's decided who she is. She's decided what she wants. You can plonk her down in a busy city, which is where she's living now, and she just makes her choices. She says, I don't choose that. I do choose this. I like to live like this. I'm doing this and not that. It's very encouraging to see someone who has done that so early in life and is not subject to all the stuff that whirls around her. We can choose for ourselves. You can choose that, Danny, by instructing yourself to deliver what you need, by changing the directions you give to your other Danny, so you have all the good things that you require coming from you to you. It'll take time and it'll take attention, but it's doable. Start in increments, like the first time you feel that challenging voice, just deliberately say, actually, Danny too, this is the support I require from you now. Turn the negative thing around so you're hearing what you need and what you want. Let me know how you go with that. I'm not suggesting we encourage multiple personality activity. I'm just saying we are multifaceted people and we always have internal chat. So let's make sure that chat works to serve us and not undermine us. Question number three today is from Lulu. She says, am I asking too much of a man to expect him to be fully focused on me and to follow through with what he says? People tell me I should lower my expectations. I don't feel good about that, or that it's right, but that's what everyone says. You're being too picky. What do you say, Margot? Well, how about if I answer you, Lulu, from a man's perspective? Here's some advice about men from a famous man, Denzel Washington, no less, paraphrased by me, but not changed in meaning. So here's what a man has to say about how men should treat women and what women should accept. Number one, you will never have to tell a grown man how to love you. And Denzel says, that's pathetic if you do. Number two, what one man won't do for you, another man who values you will do. Number three, stop accepting the phrase, well, this is just who I am, because it's not good enough. Number four, when he shows how he treats you, how he feels about you, even if you don't like it, believe it. Think about that one. How he treats you is how he feels about you. If it's not good enough then he's never going to be the man for you. Here's where I deviate a bit. This is number five. Denzel says, give no guy a second chance. But I would say, give him a second chance if you really think he's worth it, but never a third. Because if you have to do that, you can be sure what he's doing is a behavioral habit and he's just going to keep doing it. My philosophy is if someone needs to sort their stuff, they should go away and sort it and then come back all tidied up. Not necessarily to you, but to somebody. Number six, if he really loves you with what he says, his actions will back that up. And lastly, you're not asking too much, you are just asking the wrong person. So here ends the lesson from Denzel. What a groovy name. I might make it one of our aliases. Lulu, any woman you meet who has left an unsatisfactory relationship or lost a good one will invariably tell you that she is happier and better off with just her own fine company than being in a relationship that's no good. My answer is don't compromise. Here's this. If others around you think that's the way to go, let them do that in their own lives. They can't tell you to accept less. I have a theory that in terms of emotional intelligence and maturity, there are babies, there are boys and men, just as there are babies, girls and women. Denzel calls it grown men. They're men who are emotionally mature and who don't need a woman to baby them or to dance around them and be constantly trying to make life right for them. They have got to get themselves sorted. If you choose a man, get one who knows how to manage himself, his life, and you in the best way possible. But remember, you can't have what you aren't a match for. So if you do get that, it can be challenging for the more mature person in the relationship. Remember to look at not just the other person, but also how you are showing up. If you expect great things from a man, you will have to have those qualities because he will be looking for them as well. Question number four. Our last question today is from Marianne. She wanted to know about a checklist when she goes on a date to be sure that she is not missing anything important and that she should be looking for in a potential long-term relationship. I spoke to a friend just recently who's been on lots of online dates in pursuit of the perfect man for her, and she told me how it ought to be done, so I'm passing this on, Marianne. My friend said she always meets for coffee or a drink. That way it can be long or short, depending on how the first meeting goes. Then she said she personally looks for the following things. She looks for someone not just who can make conversation, but who makes good and meaningful conversation. She is always sure to touch on subjects that are important to her. For example, she cares about the political situation in Russia and the Ukraine. She cares about her spirituality, so she makes sure she touches on these subjects with a date to see where they are with the things that matter to her and in her life. That seems very wise to me. Her second point is that she looks for humility. That's an important one. No woman wants to get involved with a man who only talks about himself and thinks he is the be-all and end-all, or even a know-all. Three, she wants them to take care of themselves. This is a personal grooming thing. She said she thinks they shouldn't be excessively overweight. And I think one can't underestimate this. A man must smell as good as he looks, or possibly better. She did say that if someone was overweight, she would be able to help them with that. So that wasn't a deal breaker for her, but it's a consideration. Next, and this is personal, of course, she likes men who have good teeth. That's a grooming issue. I know men who spend money on other expensive things, while their teeth probably should be something they look at. Number five, she especially looks for someone who sees their glass half full. There is nothing more undesirable than someone, male or female, with a victim mentality. Really, there's nothing worse than living with that long term, I think. And her last point was, in looking at somebody, she decides, would she be happy to kiss them? So, a really interesting collection of points that she likes to consider when looking at a prospective mate. I want to say something about this because you may not be at the time of your life where you're dating. You may be living happily ever after with your chosen mate. And though you may never think about dating, it's always good to be aware of the things that attract us to each other. And who knows, you may have a friend, a child, a grandchild, somebody else who will seek your advice about how to choose the right person for them. It's good to think about these things and about the values you have around such an enormously important choice. So just because you're not looking for a mate now doesn't mean it's not worth considering how long-term relationships are successful. They require constant input, or you may lose your partner's attention and they might get bored and wander off. What would you advise another person should your opinion be sought? My friend who dates quite often is seriously looking for her match and she's careful about the choices she makes. She said she considers it fun. If you decide to go online to find somebody who might be right for you, then she says make sure you are fun and lighthearted. I think that's so important, especially when you're connecting with another person for the first time. Be aware if you're known to give off a particular vibe, maybe being reserved or being a bit cool. You probably know how you're perceived by others. So remember that and try to project an upbeat, friendly, bubbly aspect of your personality. We all have that aspect and it's up to us to cultivate it. It puts people at ease, both the giver and the receiver. So I hope that gives you some guidance for how you might put together your own must-have list. I personally never bother with things like fidelity, honesty, integrity, reliability, because I think those are a given. Assume those will be there and see what other things you feel are necessary for your own happiness. I've talked to a number of people recently who don't live in full-time relationships, but they are fully committed. I do think we have a very conventional expectation of marriage, or at least we used to have, but now it's great to have a certain amount of freedom to write your own playbook, if you like. To say, we have a day where we just spend it by ourselves or with our girlfriends or mates, whatever it is. I have friends who are happily married. One of them goes off on holiday with her girlfriend, and the husband goes off on holidays with his golf buddies. My dating friend says it's great to keep a certain amount of mystery in a relationship. So don't always be predictable. Don't always lay everything out. But enjoy the process and make sure you're offering that other person something that's going to keep them interested in what you're going to do next, say next, and how you're going to show up next. Well, that's a lot more than 6 points. I hope that was of some help. Let me know if you need me to go over those with you again, and I can send you the list. It's important to reflect on what matters most to you and to communicate those priorities to a potential mate. That way, you've got a greater chance of living happily ever after. Well, that's our 4 questions for today. Thank you for your fine company. If you do have questions for me, please write to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz, or you can write to margotunlimited.com and message me under the contact tab, and that's Margot with a T. As usual, we're finishing today with the word, our message from the universe. It really is a message about living in the moment. I think there are 3 kinds of people. There are people who are mostly fixed on the past, either because it was great or because it wasn't great. There are people who live in the moment and they squeeze every bit of juice out of the present. And there are people who are forever pulling themselves into a future they are envisaging. I wonder which of these you are. I think the best way to be is to be living in the moment with an eye on the future, having hopefully already sorted your past. If you have things that are keeping you stuck in a present that you're not happy with, do have a look on my website, margotunlimited.com, under the goodies tab, and there are audios there that will help you with memory and recall, sleep, imposter syndrome, health, and more. And of course, you can always write to me about a specific matter. So here is our message from the universe for today. Today is always the day you must live in. Tomorrow, later on, will be today. Just focus all your attention on today. Your today can be anything you choose. What I am saying is that you must not be longing for what is not here in your today. You must just find the way to be in today with all that tomorrow feels like for you. Thank you, and see you next time.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.